Welcome back to the number one podcast done on a balcony, and I'm sorry to say that because we're all in different places, we're only on the metaphorical balcony, but that's fine. And my name, as always, is Spencer.
My name's Matheson.
And you may have seen our guest in one of his 96 IMDb credits. I said 96, but you probably know him as Deputy Shoop from the number one show in the world, Outer Banks. Matheson, let's give a little baby round of applause for our friend, Cullen Moss.
Yeah, baby.
Woo! Thanks, fellas.
You gave us the golf clap.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
Dude, first of all, I love sometimes, because with this podcast, I'm in music. I have a bunch of music friends, actor friends, like around town. But sometimes I cold DM a random person because I like what they're doing. I think they're talented. And you had no hesitation. You're like, let's do it. And really appreciate that, man. I just like when people go for it, you know?
Yeah, man. Why not?
That's what I think.
There were no signs that I should be trepidatious about it, so.
Yeah, well, you didn't think right, because you should be very trepidatious
always
about us.
Now I go into things that, but I mean, you know, I'm ready. I'm in.
Yeah, you're in, and I like that about you. I want to start off first off by saying massive congrats on what I kind of refer to this kind of a thing as like a lightning in a bottle show, something that isn't like just a big show, a show that does well, a show that literally like swept the world. You know, like this is one of the biggest shows, Outer Banks, that there's been in so long, and one of my favorites. And congratulations! Like how's that been, man? Like, how's your life changed since that's happened? And I know that you've been acting for so long, but this is, you know, a different kind of thing.
Yeah. How has it changed? There's a sense of a sense of fiscal security. You know, I mean, just with, yeah. It was a nice enough role that I knew had legs and was going to, and the show felt like it had legs. So, but you know, I say that I'm knocking on wood right now. I feel like I've got a character that has legs and, on it. So, it feels like it elevated things just a little bit for me, just the size of the role and the level of involvement in the show. And I think since our first season, I kind of feel like some larger opportunities have kind of come my way. I don't know if it was from that show or what necessarily, but it was nice to, you know, with a lot of the shows, as large of a body of work as I have, on screen, on film and television, I don't feel like a lot of the roles that I've had have had the breadth and the arc that this character has had. So, you know, as long as I've been in it, it was a learning process still for me. And at this late stage of life, to get to do that in a show like this, I feel like it's opened some doors, and I'm still learning stuff on the set, and I've gotten to level up a little bit with it. It's nice.
Yeah, I think it's cool to see like a character that, like you said, thank God he has legs, because every human should. And I just think it's cool that like your character.
Can we say that?
I don't know if we can say anything anymore, dude. I mean, I don't know if that's legism. I'm not sure.
A little bit legist.
But I would like to say that Yeah, a little bit legist. I think it's so cool to see like a first season character, which you had a great arc in, but then the second season to have, I just think it was cool to see you become especially really human. And that's just not something that's given to every person. I think it's, it speaks to your acting a lot. You know, I looked up your IMDb and I'd realized that I'd seen you in so many things already. And I think like this sort of a thing, this like this explosion of a show and this opportunity for you, it was just a matter of time, you know, like it just depends. It just was you being in the right thing at the right time. And yeah, I just think it's so amazing to watch.
It is. It's really cool. It's been great. You're right. This is one of those things that, you know, it's kind of, I've been that guy in that thing, for a while. And, and I feel like this show, you know, just like those people, and I see those people, it's like that person that shows up in that show and you're like, oh, cool. I know that guy's been in something. I don't know what, but I dig what this actor does. There's these character actors that just kind of have a level of anonymity to them, which is not a bad thing. But I feel like this show kind of has, may help kind of graduate me from that guy in that thing sense because of how crazy the
100% has been. Yeah. Are you getting for the first time ever, like, or I guess you probably had this before too, but are you getting a lot of people noticing you, asking for pictures, like saying hi in public?
No, not a whole lot. And in part because, every now and then, but in part because of just like where we are right now still, like, and when the show blew up, I mean, I was still kind of laying low in the house, and when I would go out, I was wearing a mask. So like a lot of people,
right.
And so there wasn't a lot of recognition then, but I have experienced it some. I experienced it a little bit from One Tree Hill. Like that had this rabid fan base, but like I'm so old now that I'm being less and less recognized for that. But I've aged out of getting recognized for Junk Moretti. But yeah, this it's happened a little bit in part just because we're in Charleston and people know it's shot here. So I think people have their eyes peeled for people from the show here in Charleston. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live where we shoot it, so that attributes some of it. But I'm not experiencing what our younger cast members must be experiencing. Because even when I feel like I am being recognized, There's not going to be the exuberance that of people spotting like Chase or Madeline or Madison or, you know, JD. People are like, hey, is that the old cop? I think so. Cool. Walk on. They're not going to be like, I don't know how much cred they're going to get with a selfie with old mustache cop. But yeah, I mean, I'm getting noticed.
I was going to say, I'm a little disappointed that we're mustacheless here.
Sorry.
But
there you go.
It's okay.
There we go. There we go. That's what I was waiting for.
Are you? I think we can kind of, we know that you're a father. We heard earlier. I was going to ask, are your kids asking for John B to come over and stuff like that? You know, like, do you have daughters that are all there, big fans or anything like that?
Oh no. No, I've got three sons. My oldest is 18.
Gotcha.
I've got an 18-year-old, a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. So, the 7-year-old and 5-year-old really haven't watched. I let them watch the first episode of each season. And they think all the characters are really cool. They came on set once during the first season, and met the guys, but they, you know, it's kind of over their heads. That it doesn't compute. I mean, I'm sure they'd think it was cool if they met those guys, but my 18-year-old, he's got, you know, he doesn't care a whole lot about that stuff, but he likes this show. He really does. And his friends like the show. And so we actually, over the summer, it was last year, shortly after the show had come out, we were in Wilmington and went by Jonas Pate's house, the creator, like by his house, and Madeline and Chase happened to be staying there at the time. And so he got to meet them after having seen the show. And that was like, he didn't get super starstruck, but afterwards he was saying, that was pretty surreal. I was like, it must be. Yeah. But he didn't give a shit, you know, what I do.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's definitely a demographic for the show, but I'm not sure if I'm in it or not, but I fell right in. I just love the adventure, and I think that's cool. And I think it's cool they shoot it in Charleston, which is, you know, we've toured there a few times. I love coming through that city. I have my girlfriend's brother lives there, and we go all the time. And I love there's not a lot of cities like that left. Like, I think New Orleans is my favorite city in America, and that's like in that, like, hasn't really been touched by time too much. And Charleston sort of fits in that category too. And I love the bars they have. I love the coffee shops. I love the streets. Like, everything has that timestamp a little bit. And I think that's such a special place.
Yeah. There are a few spots like that, in that family of, those weird, kind of like places that got frozen in time. Well, Wilmington, North Carolina, in a kind of grungier sense, has that, but Wilmington, Savannah, Charleston, New Orleans, they're all kind of of the same ilk, you know, I think. And, Charleston's a cool spot. We just moved here 4 years ago. My wife grew up here, so that's what kind of brought us here.
Where did you move from?
From Wilmington, North Carolina. So it was not a big move. It's like four hours away.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I lived in Wilmington for 21 years.
Were you shooting in like Atlanta a lot? Because I know people like from, you know, the Southeast, like always will go to Atlanta, and all, you know, people, all my friends here that do shows and movies, they always go shoot in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, did you make that drive?
Oh, nice. A lot. Atlanta, Covington, just all those areas. I mean, I'm shooting something in Atlanta right now. Actually, a new HBO series, a limited series for HBO. I've been bouncing back and forth, but that's one of the things, one of the reasons we moved. It's going to be a good one. One of the reasons we moved to Charleston was that much closer to Georgia. And then we had my wife's family to help out with the kids when I was working.
Have you also, the listeners listening, if you haven't noticed yet, there we do have a lag, and this normally doesn't happen, but you're a pro at dealing with a lag on a podcast. So thank you for doing that. I don't even know if you even know there's a lag, but there's a lag for us at least. And we're like trying to like carefully be like, Yeah.
Same.
Yes. Sometimes that's, the internet doesn't like to agree.
Doesn't treat you well.
But I was gonna ask. Well, you kind of answered that question. Sort of a two-part question is. Is it nice? Like, it must be so nice just being able to walk out your front door and take a 15-minute drive to set, you know, for that kind of stuff, like living where you're shooting. And I was going to say, like, because of that, like being so close to your family and things like that, is this like, has this been one of your favorite shoots, or like, do you have like a really awesome memory from a different shoot, or just, you know, any awesome, like any cool set stories or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. This is one of my favorite ones, and for sure, in part because of, it's proximity to my home and being able to, you know, see my family at the end of the day. But also, just because of the crew on this, they're a largely Wilmington based crew, Wilmington, North Carolina. And a lot of them I'm friends with and have been friends with for years. So there's a feeling of being at home. It's cool. It's just a warm, real cool family vibe on set from the cast to the crew. Just really good chemistry with everybody. And it's a fun role. I mean, they're fun stories. It's just, you know, it's treasure hunting and chasing kids through,
yeah,
you know, in boats and shit. It's fun.
Yeah, you were just talking about the film crew in Wilmington. I literally last year started acting, and I'm joining the Netflix family. September 2nd, my movie's coming out on Netflix, and it's called Afterlife of the Party. Just giving myself a little plugging myself on
shameless
my own
plug, podcast. Baby.
Congratulations. So we shot in South Africa during the pandemic. Thank you very much. And it was wild because it was the first time, like, you know, I did that, and then I just did a show in Hawaii, and each of these places I'm sitting here like, oh, the film industry is in Los Angeles, the entire crew goes from LA to Iowa, or they go from LA to Wilmington or South Africa. They have massive industries in each of these cities, like New Orleans, obviously Atlanta, like they don't fly in, the people live there, and they're so unbelievably talented. They're more talented than a lot of people here. And it's like when a show sort of pops off, like in South Africa, when The Kissing Booth kind of popped off, they started filming a lot of Netflix stuff there. And then all those people were like working for years and years straight without any time off. And I just think it's really cool that like Hawaii, Wilmington, all these places have their own crews in each part of the world. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you know, Wilmington for a while was like, that was the third largest hub of production in the States for a long while, until Georgia started kicking in. Georgia, Louisiana, now New Mexico's in there too. I grew up in the Carolinas. I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and moved to Wilmington because of the film industry there. And so, I mean, and that was in the mid 90s, but I mean, that place, Wilmington's been cooking since the 80s, since Dino De Laurentiis opened up the studios there. And so their crew base is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like they've really built up this awesome, electric sound camera. I mean, just some of the most cohesive, badass film crews that I've ever gotten to work with are Wilmington based.
Yeah, I think that's just like I said, like I think it's cool that I didn't know that, and then I found that out. And you don't have to live in Los Angeles to be the most talented, you know, DP or whatever. Like you can be anywhere in the world, and that's just really cool for people to know. I also thought of a really fun question. I'm just like, we're on a road. I use this a lot. We're on a road. We're driving down the road. I'm taking a sharp Louis. I'm just going to a different subject. I'm ravining us off the cliff. So, I think the things I like about Charleston, New Orleans, those kind of places, are these 1800s bars. And I love going into them. I love drinking absinthe and weird voodoo shit that I don't even know what I'm drinking. And so a fun question that we started asking our guests lately is, if you were like, you know what, I'm opening a bar in Charleston or wherever you want. My question is, what's the name of the bar? And what's the theme of the bar? Like, what's the vibe of it?
Oh, shit.
It's called Dough Shit.
I like it. So far, so good.
Shit. And you just don't know what's happening. It's just chaos. There's not even a bartender. It's just, there's.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just the Wild West.
Yeah. It's a dirt floor. You gotta have a bag full of coins to pay for your liquor. And whenever the bell rings, you have to. Whenever there's a bell that you ring, whenever the bell rings, you got to punch somebody.
Listen, this started off as a dumb joke, but now we've maybe created a really solid bar on accident. Great bar. Like, I like the idea when they walk in, like. The reason it's called Oh Shit is because you walk in and you're like, oh shit. Like, I should not be here. And then the bell rings and you're getting punched in the face. And
it's fun. It's that's gonna happen. And then, yeah, the furniture, because chairs are good.
I like this a lot.
You're going to break chairs. The table's not going to be made of sturdy wood necessarily, but sturdy enough. To hold a drink.
Right. A lot of sugar glass cups and stuff.
No. Right. No, real glass. I mean, it's oh shit.
Oh, excuse me, sorry. Yeah.
It's oh shit, dude. You never been there?
How dare I insult the integrity of this place? I apologize.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by our new sponsor, Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a hydration multiplier. Okay, what does that mean? Let me explain to you what it means. Liquid IV is a non-GMO electrolyte drink mix that utilizes breakthrough science of cellular transport technology. Wow. To deliver hydration and other key nutrients into your bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone. I actually love Liquid IV so much that I reached out to them. Talk about never having a hangover again. Talk about feeling wildly hydrated all the time. Liquid IV also doesn't have all that sugar and BS you find in other sports drinks. Use code WINSLUNCHPOD to get 25% off and free shipping. Once again, that's code WINSLUNCHPOD. Liquid IV, get into it. Hey guys, let's be honest. Summer is here. What do you need more than spiked superfruit water? Well, luckily, we got you covered. Dezo. Dezo is the official drink of Wins Lunch. It's not just your average spiked seltzer. Like I said, it's a spiked superfruit water. All these companies focus on minimizing the impact, like low calories, low carbs. But Dezo provides you with health benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, just to name a few. With Dezo, you know exactly what you're putting in your body. Get respectfully wild with Dezo this summer. Also, if you want free stuff, as always, head to thefutureofdrinking.com and then click sign up for early access. All you have to put is your name, your Instagram handle, and of course, your referral, Wins Lunch Podcast. Must be 21 plus. Dezo, the official drink of Wins Lunch. I was just going to ask, you kind of answered this when you were talking about how much fun you had. And it probably is annoying how many questions you get about Outer Banks. So I am sorry. I'm a big fan of the show. And that's how I became introduced to you. And my question is, I would like to know, because I know on sets, like in my own experience, we pull pranks. We've done like fun shit like that. So I'm interested. Is there anything that stuck out from one or two the seasons that you can think of, some hilarious thing that happened on set or a prank or anything like that?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of shit like that went down in my absence. But there's nothing specific. There just really is, I think, a general sense of fun and levity with those guys, like with the cast, with the crew. And it's nothing specific, but you know, just when they're saying, you know, you can, when we're given a license to kind of to improvise and stuff, where this chair is fucked. Pardon me. There we go. When we're given the chance to improvise, sometimes we don't make great choices. And I know I've said, oh yeah, this will be cool if Shoop says this and something will come out of my mouth. I'm like, that was the dumbest fucking thing I could have said, and it's, and we all laugh at it and go on, but nothing, no real,
fun. It just, maybe it's just like the whole thing is fun, like that, like everybody's like, you know, having I'm sure like the kids as I call them on there, it just a super youthful, like fun energy, I'm sure.
It is. They keep it going. They keep it lively.
Yeah. I think one of my goals is to have a scene with, as I do think this show is going to go multiple seasons. I think we're only just beginning. You may know and just are not allowed to say, but one of my goals is to have a scene with you. I think I can be the new guy in the Outer Banks. You know, I have the hair. I have a beachy disposition. I think I can do it. Also, it's funny that, like, you know, like, for instance, Chase and I are the same age. Chase is playing a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old. So, you know, Hollywood high school is a lot different than real high school. You know what I mean?
I remember from back when I could play Hollywood high school.
Right.
And barely.
Right. You're 30 years old playing a teenager. That's just like how it's always been.
Well, listen, ideally for the next season, there's a role opening up for Timmy the Sleepy Nickel. And you can come and play that.
That's my in.
That's your in.
We're gonna do motion capture with you, but remember, it's a sleepy nickel, so you're not gonna have a whole lot of work to do.
Oh, I don't like to do work anyway.
There you go. You're living it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna jump in.
That's not a performance. That guy is the sleepy nickel.
Well, where Daniel Day-Lewis does his thing, whatever, with Abraham Lincoln, I'm gonna be in character as the nickel for the next year until production.
If anybody tries to Spencer, no, I'm sorry, I think you meant Timmy.
You gotta do the voice too.
Who's Spencer?
Oh my god, people think you're fucking so crazy, dude.
No, get me a salad, you motherfucker.
Before I fall asleep.
Oh my god, this is really worth looking into.
I don't give a shit about the lag because we came up with Timmy the Sleepy Nickel.
No, that was so good. It was so good. Well, we like to wrap these bad boys up by giving one word to describe our day today.
Oh, wait, can I, before you give your rap word?
Oh, yes.
I've got a shameless plug as well.
Please.
What's that?
I said we were just going to get to the plugs. You have all the plug time that you need, starting in three. Good. 2-1
Fuck. keep your eyes out for Timmy the Sleepy Nickel this fall. There's an HBO. I'm doing an HBO limited series for HBO Max called Staircase. And anyway, we're shooting it right now in Atlanta. That was, you were asking like what some of my favorite like cool onset things have been, and this is one, and it's still happening. I'm bouncing back and forth, but
hell yeah, congratulations!
Thanks a lot. Yeah. And it's did either of you watch the Staircase documentary on Netflix about Michael Peterson trial? He's a writer in Durham, Carolina.
Is Harrison Ford in this?
He was going to be, I think, in early iterations had Harrison Ford as Michael Peterson. Now it's Colin Firth.
Oh, so, okay, that's a pretty good backup. Yeah. That's amazing.
Not bad. Toni Collette and
she's wild.
Michael Stuhlbarg and Sophie Turner. Dean DeHaan, and it's just a crazy cast. And I'm playing the DA, the lead prosecutor, this guy Jim Harden. And these are all real people. So it's one of the first times that I've played a real person and had who's still alive and was willing to speak to me. And
oh wow,
yeah. And Parker Posey is the assistant prosecutor. And I've been a huge Parker Posey fan forever. It's like I love everything she's done, and she's playing Freda Black, who's the other prosecutor. So she's basically my scene partner through this whole thing.
Wow.
And it's Antonio Campos is directing it, and it's heavy stuff. And I'm kind of going full Jim Harden. We got to talk to this guy, and he's from Durham, North Carolina, and it's sort of that voice that reminds you of your English teacher that was also a coach.
A draw.
Very correct.
I'm Mr. Willett. Y'all can call me coach. We're going to watch a lot of videos in this class. Because it's fun.
Remember the title.
yeah, dude.
But this guy, he was very generous and spoke with Parker and me for like over an hour and a half and at length, and was just like, was really open and cool and knew that I was going to be playing him. And I was like, hey man, he was just hoping that we were going to give him a fair shake. And this script does that. It's a really cool script. It's dynamic. And it's not sensationalist. It's just sort of an exploration. It's, you know, kind of admitting acknowledging the fact that in things like this, nobody knows what the truth is except for the people who were there. And so it's not trying to take one side or claiming to know one thing or another. In this case of Michael Peterson and the alleged, murder, the trial, but it's interesting. It's going to be really good. The trial opened up so many weird things and weird family dynamics and things that were kind of funny, and it doesn't shy away from the things that are funny about it. It just kind of, it lets the humor happen. It's really beautifully written, and I just can't believe I'm working with some of the people I'm working with. So that's been an exciting thing.
Dude, really congratulations. Cool. That's really exciting. Thank
you. Massive congratulations. I think this is just like, this is very telling about the things that are coming your way and the things you deserve and how talented you really are. This is a genuine story, but after I saw the first season, the two people, and I think everybody, and not to bring it back to Outer Banks, I'm always bringing it back to Outer Banks.
But it's the number one show for 6 days running, so why not?
It is, baby.
Hey, baby.
But that's just like how I'm introduced to you. So that's why I think I'm you know, referring back to it a lot. But I remember after the first season, I watched with my girlfriend, and who's an actress as well, and I turned to her and I said, my favorite two, everybody's great, but my favorite two performances were yours and Charles, who plays Ward. You can just tell. There's just like there's this thing that happens when you've been doing it for years that it's just there. And I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff, which is why all my favorite actors are Nicolas Cage and Liam Neeson and you know
the people. Yeah.
Yeah. So
The kids, as I call them too, are no slouches, man. I mean, they're good. It's so fun. Like, they're willing, they'll go out on a limb to do some things that, you know, an older actor might not do. And there's such genuine fun and freshness to everything that they're doing.
It's real.
It is real, and credit to Jonas Peyton and all the directors we've had, Valerie Weiss, Sonny Hodge, that they give them a lot of leeway and work with them and let them come up with these very authentic moments. Like the kids contribute a lot to what their characters say and do. And a lot of those are sure. kind of organic moments that they just let happen. And it was cool too to see their growth. I mean, they're all good, but they, you know, at that stage, like there's a lot more growth than you'll see with me. I like to think that I'm still learning and growing, and I am, but it's more noticeable with them, I think. And to watch like them from season one to season two, like to see what
huge. A lot of there's a bunch of cool moments too, where they're all together, the kids in general. And the normal viewer probably couldn't notice this, but I think since I'm in the industry, I'm just, everything's under a microscope, music, acting. Like I'm just like looking for like, that's a cool shot. Like I wonder where, you know, what was it on the back of a car? Like, was it on the windshield, whatever. And there's a bunch of cool moments in the show where I can tell there's a few ad-lib lines and it feels so genuine where, you know, where JJ, says something. He's just like, that's freaking crazy, dude. And it's just like something that's not like a written line, but it, you know, to your point, it feels, it's so cool they let him do that. I think it's fantastic.
There's a lot of that in that show. And yeah. and like with my character too, like that Jonas is just like, you know, we'll be getting ready to go and I'll be like, hey, you know, what if this? He's like, go for it, Baba. He's just like, yeah, you feel it. Like if it feels like shoot, do it. So we get to do it. One thing that not the best side effect that can come from being able to ad lib is like that when you feel like you're being authentically mad or excited or whatever, is to lean towards the expletives and throw a fuck out there. And so we like in season one, there were ample examples of that on my part, on everybody's part. So when season two came around, everybody got put on a bit of a fuck diet. yeah. They were like, Netflix had realized, they were like, you know, the response to that word is not great, honestly, with this demographic, with this show and with this demographic. And they were like, and as they were even editing season two, they're like, it's hard to shake that when you're improvising and you're getting worked up. And if you're already a potty mouth like me, I'm a dirty bird. but when it's hard not to throw that one out there. It's a go-to. It's tried and true. But they're like, yeah, it's amazing what winds up on the cutting room floor because of that. And or, you know, what will send people back to do ADR, and you're in there going, freak, you know, or you know, in front of the mic.
Yeah.
You know,
I freaking
recording
missed
over I freaking your F bombs.
I like the idea of the director being like, all right, man, like, yeah, just like however you're feeling it. And you're like, you get into the scene and you're like, this is looking bad. What do you think, Timmy? You like pull out a nickel and he's like, God damn it. Like, no more Timmy. You can't keep trying to put him in the show.
You fooled me. Yeah. What do you think, Timmy? I'm fucking tired.
You broke two rules.
But it was Timmy. Timmy was.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I had to bring it back one last time. But let's get out of here, fellas. Like I was saying,
a flight to catch, boys.
Yeah, we all got things to do, I'm sure.
No, you don't. You don't have anything to do.
It's true. I'm going to sit in this chair in silence.
Me and Colin have stuff to do, and you're just going to sit there and look at the dirt floor at oh shits.
Wait for the bell to ring.
Callback.
And no, we like to end these episodes with just giving one word to describe our day today. Little. Mindfulness, happiness moment. Maybe it's not happy, it doesn't have to be, but Spencer, do you want to go? Or
I'll start it off to show you how it's done. My word is rushed. I feel like the day that I'd rather fly out at 7 a.m. I got a flight at 7 p.m. and the entire day leading up to that, I could have nothing to do and I feel like I'm going to miss my flight. And it's just a weird feeling that I have, especially when it's international. So I feel rushed, but not necessarily in a bad way. I'm excited to get on a flight and drink some champagne, you know.
That's my word. Actually going to do that?
I wake up when I don't have a flight to catch. Every day I feel like I'm going to miss my flight and there's no plane. But I just,
that sounds like
anxiety
a topic for a professional, not for us.
Okay, sorry. Well, can we just take one more hour?
So listen, guys, every morning I wake up and think that I have a
think flight. That I'm, yeah.
Oh man. Should I be worried?
So yours is rushed.
I'm gonna go with calm. Yeah. I'm gonna go with the opposite. I think a lot of people around me, not saying this was you, but a lot of people around me today were very like stressed and like
fuck off.
How are we gonna? No, it's not. We're not at oh shits, dude. Sorry. Never mind. Yeah, I was just like everyone was kind of running around worried, and I was like, it's gonna be okay, guys. Which is ironic for me, but sometimes you take part in the jazz cabbage and you feel okay, yeah. As they say.
Sure do.
But sorry.
Jazz cabbage, yeah, exactly. Guys, baby.
Hey. Oh my god, I need to get that. I need to cut that out of the audio. That was jazz. The best like commercial for jazz cabbage. Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. Could you give us just like real quick before your one word? Do a 20-second commercial about trying to sell jazz cabbage to somebody on the street.
20-second commercial.
In that voice.
Did you wake up feeling like you were going to miss a plane all day and then what? Maybe try that jazz cabbage. It's nice, baby. It's nice. You're going to catch your flight every time, all the time. Jazz cabbage. Oh. Catch that flight.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. Excellent work. Holy shit.
Yeah, as he goes, hey, baby, we just lost it.
We're like, well, you're correct. Do you have one word for the day, my friend?
Because Spencer already took rushed. I'll take harried.
Okay.
Harry. It's a hectic.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I feel like that doesn't need a lot of describing either. It makes total sense. Some days it's just like that. A lot of Prince Harry, a lot of Harry Styles, a lot of shit like that.
You got three boys running around in the house too.
Harry and the Hendersons. And my oldest, we're taking my oldest to begin his freshman year of college.
Hey, congrats.
On Sunday, thank you. So,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, he's going to Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. And
dude, Appalachian State's like the upset king in college football. They always mysteriously beat a top 10 team all the time.
Mountaineers, yeah. Baby.
Mountaineers for life.
Mountaineers!
Jazz cabbage.
Jazz cabbage, baby. You're going to love it.
You're going to love it, baby. It's a touchdown with jazz cabbage.
Oh, man. I need you to narrate my entire life. Well, no, thank you so much for doing this, man. Obviously, all the congrats and all the best wishes moving forward with the show. With the HBO show as well. That's
not like I have to tell people this, but go watch Outer Banks. It's out now. Go watch everything Colin's done. Follow him on Instagram at Colin Moss. Get some new Instagram followers. Get some good shows watched. And I feel like we plugged you on life in general.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Oh, man. If nobody's seen it yet. The Underground Railroad. I'm only at it for a little bit, but on Amazon Prime, that's beautiful. Barry Jenkins is just a poet, man, and just what a brilliant cast and crew. That's a powerful show. It's a heavy, very different vibe from Outer Banks. But it's beautiful and important. It's good.
Very important.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And thanks so much for having me, guys. You guys were a joy to talk with. And,
thanks, man.
Generous. And thanks.
We have we have one final question for you. And it's also just a tiny bit of housekeeping. Don't hang up immediately after this. Just hang on for like 1 second when we're done.
It just got to like upload.
Yeah. But we have one final question.
Gut reaction this shit.
Yeah, just gut reaction. No, not a lot of thinking, you know? Okay. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. When's lunch?
12 to 1.
Oh, we've never had parameters.
All
that was
in
the first parameters. Hell yes. When's lunch? When's lunch? When's lunch? Oh no.